Greetings. I'm Bill Plagge, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Josh Tolkien, who is director of the Maryland chapter of the Sierra Club. And Josh is here today to talk to us about the various things the Sierra Club's Maryland chapter is doing to help the environment, all aspects of our environment. So, Josh, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for agreeing to come on. I know you folks are busy, which is good, because we all live in the same environment, right?
And, absolutely.
And we frankly count on stewards like you and like the Sierra Club to, you know, keep up the good fight to make our environment better. So, you know, on behalf of all the silent citizens out there, I want to start off by thanking you for doing that.
Well, thank you very much. You know, people are very passionate.
First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, could you tell us a little bit about the Sierra Club?
Sure. So the Sierra Club was founded in 1892 by legendary outdoorsman John Muir, helped protect Yosemite and a lot of other our great wild spaces. I joke with people that the Sierra Club was founded by a bunch of old white men who like to hike in the woods. And they fought passionately to protect that area that was special to them. Over the next 120 years, we've grown to the largest grassroots environmental organization in the country, and our mission has not really grown, but let's say become more sophisticated, where we understand not just the environment as a place you can go hiking in, but the air we breathe and the water we drink and the communities that we create, from, you know, public health to protecting the trees, from, you know, protecting the caribou to ensuring that everybody has access to a park nearby. So we really try to look at both the human environment, the natural environment, and the interaction of those.
How can someone find out more information about the Sierra Club?
Well, you can find more information on our website at sierraclub.org/Maryland. And if you want to jump right into the events, you go to sierraclub.org/Maryland/calendar. You can also find us on Twitter at Sierra Club MD and on Instagram at Sierra Club MD. And all of the information there has information about specifically what's going on in Maryland. I'm the director of the Maryland chapter of the Sierra Club. And the way the Sierra Club works is we're one big national organization, but we believe in organizing locally in our communities. So most of the work here is done not by somebody in California or Washington, D.C. It's planned by people living here in Maryland. And we even have what we call local groups, such as our Greater Baltimore Group, which includes Baltimore City, Baltimore County, and Hartford, where they put on even more local and specific activities. And just to talk a little bit more about the organization's purpose and history, our mission is to enjoy, explore, and protect the planet. And all three of those are important. So we organize hikes and outings and educational activities to teach people about the outdoors, from an introduction to hiking to educational events about tree identification to our special Inspiring Connections Outdoors program, which brings youth from urban environments into either out to the outdoors or just finding other green spaces to access within the city.
Oh, that's great.
We need to do work to help protect those spaces. So our vision is that the more people get connected to nature and are aware of it, they'll also feel inspired or called to step up to protect those spaces. Mm-hmm. We try to do both sides.
That makes a lot of sense.
The outings and outdoors have been on hold since the outbreak of COVID, which has been really challenging. You know, individuals are still out there hiking, but we've come up with a lot of creative activities that you can do at home. There's something called the City Nature Challenge that allows you to identify all sorts of things in your natural environment, from, you know, the dandelions as you walk down the street to the trees around you. And we do a lot of virtual outings, which are really educational, and people enjoy them. They're very creative. I will say that everybody's eager for a time that we're hoping is coming soon where it will be safe for us to be organizing outings and activities with more people in person. So those aren't on hold, but we are hoping that they'll get unlocked sometime this summer, and we'll be able to offer that back to everybody.
That's great. And folks could check your calendar perhaps this summer to find out about those.
Yes. All of that outings are open to the public, whether you're a Sierra member or not. And they're all available on the calendar at sierraclub.org/Maryland/calendar.
Wonderful. And I guess as your job as director is to make everything work, right?
My job is to make everything work. So I have 7 staff who work for me who are paid staff, but we have 18,000 dues-paying Sierra Club members in the state of Maryland.
Wow.
And then another 60,000 online activists. So our reach does not come just from our staff. It comes from us engaging all of those volunteers. So as one example, our staff plan maybe 3 to 4 outings a year. But when we're at full speed, we have 5 to 6 outings every weekend that are planned by volunteers who want to create those opportunities in their community. So my job is to both manage the staff, but also the training and engagement and empowerment part of our work that enables so many more people to be involved. It's really about creating a pathway and a pipeline to be involved.
Right. I know that in the process of that one big part of your work are your specific campaigns. Could you tell us a little bit about those?
Absolutely. So when we look at protecting the environment, one step is to inspire people to make a difference wherever they are. If you see a forest near you being threatened, we might train you and provide some of the tools or connect you with people around you to help clean up the air or the water. So it's a very grassroots, bottom-up approach. But there are some issues at the state or federal level that require us getting everybody together, everybody working together, having a chance of making an influence. And we call these our coordinated campaigns. So our coordinated campaigns in Maryland, we've got 5 of them, but I'll start with the biggest. Our Transportation for Maryland campaign is designed to bring Maryland into, the 21st century with a transportation system that helps get people to work, to family, and to their communities in ways that don't threaten or harm our health, increase pollution, and are friendly to the climate. That means more opportunities for biking and walking. That means more mass transit focused on the places where it's needed most. That means safer road design and upkeep, less potholes, more preservation of the road systems that we have. And it means transitioning to electric vehicles. And we're trying to do it in an equitable way. For example, looking at how if there's a subsidy for electric vehicles, those go to their disproportionate benefit to those lower income earners so that we can actually try to make sure that this doesn't become a big economic gap.
That makes sense.
Our largest source of climate pollution in Maryland. But the good news is that so many of those policies that help reduce greenhouse gases are also just good for us, like the ability to walk to the grocery store, to have kids play in their communities and feel safe and not afraid because we actually have sidewalks or parks nearby. All of those things are really good for community sustainability, but they're also great for the climate. We work on state legislation. We help with local zoning. There's a lot of different ways that we pull people together. And this last year, we had a huge victory passing something called the Transit Safety and Investment Act, which guarantees the funding that's necessary to bring our transit system back into safe, reliable health. We had a sinkhole under the Baltimore light rail 2 years ago. We had the whole system go down because of safety issues and really put a lot of our workers in concern for their safety. So this bill will ensure that our system, Baltimore Link, the light rail, the metro, and a lot of the local transit systems will have the funding that they need for what's called state of good repair. And that's just the first step, getting systems that are currently have working well so people can feel and have confidence in our transit system.
Good, 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 good. I know that you folks, as you said, are in Annapolis a lot. And in this past Annapolis session, was it very good for the environment? I guess it was very good because of the Transit Health and Safety Act.
It was a mixed bag. You know, one challenging thing for us is our model is all about getting people, everyday people, into the halls of power. So while I do personally do lobbying, my main job is to be there for people visiting, to encourage our members to come to organize a huge lobby day so that everyday folks can go to Annapolis. This year, we couldn't bring anybody to Annapolis, so we had to get really creative, and we created an online virtual lobby week where we set up over 100 meetings with legislators and scheduled them and then invited everyday people to attend. You know, it's our belief that the politics of Annapolis should be dominated by well-paid lobbyists from a bunch of companies. It should be influenced by everyday people, constituents.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I praise you for that. I praise you for that, because that's what real democracy is about.
Exactly. And so it was tough because we had a bit more access. More stuff was televised, more stuff was live streamed. But the one thing you can't do is catch somebody in the hallway when you're not there in Annapolis. So the one thing you can't do is find somebody who doesn't want to be found. You have to schedule a meeting. So I do think that was a loss this last year, and I think that there's important questions about transparency that need to be addressed if the situation ever comes up in the future. On the good side of things, every day we're able to testify, hopping on the Zoom for a half an hour or more, who couldn't make it to Annapolis. So I do think there were made for improvements in making this more accessible. As for how the whole session went, we're in the middle of like a three-pronged crisis. We've got the COVID crisis, which is layered on top of a climate crisis, which is layered on top of an economic crisis.
Right.
And I think what we really need people to do, we need legislators to do, is to zoom out and see that all of these crises come back to levels of inequity, that as we're trying to get more people vaccinated, we're seeing that there's major equity issues, the information gaps, and that we put more resources into getting people access. And a disproportionate economic impact. We see the same thing with climate, where the only way that we can get away with people not caring about how much electricity they're using is if they're not the ones who are living right next door to the power plant.
Right. So, unfortunately, Josh, I'm sorry. We're getting near the end. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I wanted to just ask you before we close, how can our listeners get involved and help?
The first thing people should do is to go to sierraclub.org/Maryland. And sign up for our newsletter so you can get the information about what's going on. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. If you're not tech savvy and you don't want to do that, just give us a call at 301-277-7111. Let us know where you're from and if there's something that you're interested in. We have a team of people who work on legislation. We have teams that work on outings. If you're a teacher or an educator or a scientist or a doctor, we're always trying to find ways to plug people in to build on what we're doing. And if you are connected to your community and your congregation, we work closely with Interfaith Partners for the Chesapeake and Interfaith Power and Light to connect the work that we're doing with communities of faith and root a lot of the work that we do in the values that drive people to believe in the importance of protecting the natural environment. So we also have toolkits and different creative ways to be able to bring these issues back to different communities that you work with. Sorry, okay. I was so long to get excited about it.
No, that's very important. That's very important. But unfortunately, though, Josh, that's all we have time for today. I want you to come back, though. We only started we only started touching on the various things that you folks are doing and the very, very important issues that touch all of us that you folks are working on. So, but for Living in Baltimore, unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank Josh Tulkin, who's director of the Maryland chapter of the Sierra Club, for being our guest today. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, and good luck. Good luck with all your work.
ccr.maryland.gov on the net, or call me at 410-929-7640. It's free, and it will help.
For Living in Baltimore, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.